Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the CEO Mindset Podcast. I am so happy to be back with you again this week. As you know, this podcast is all about constantly evolving and being open to failing forward. Now, today I have a very special guest on the show with me. I am going to be speaking with Pam Pegram. Now, Pam and I have a significant history. As you know, I used to be a Premier Designs jewelry person, and Pam was part of the upline that I used to admire and look up to as someone who had grown their business to heights that I just could only imagine. And she's always been the kindest and sweetest soul, and definitely a woman of faith. And today I wanted to interview her because she has embarked on an adventure with a couple of other ladies to encourage women to engage and experience the more God that Jesus came to offer them. They are a faith-based life and leadership coaching practice, and they work with women through their podcast, through their mentoring programs, and through their one-on-one coaching. They are three fantastic women who partner together. It's Pam Pegram, Kim Ball, and Dr. Gwen Neal. Now, like I've said, I've known Pam for a significant amount of years, and she is truly the real deal. Now, she's personally preparing a leadership course to inspire women to rise up and recognize that leadership is not about their power or position, but instead it's about fulfilling the purpose for which God has placed in their leadership path. Now, I want to introduce you to her as just the jewel that she is. There is such an abundance of wealth she can share with us, and I'm going to ask her to do that for us today. As always, her information will be down below. You can connect with her. I know that, like I said, she's creating this program, and she has an amazing process that she talks about. It's a framework, her lead framework, and we're going to go over that today during the podcast. So, you know, buckle in, grab you a snack, and just sit back and listen to this amazing interview. And just probably, you'll probably feel like a fly on the wall of a couple of girls kicking it up. So stay tuned. And next voice you'll hear will be Ms. Pam. Welcome back to the CEO Mindset Podcast. I'm Andrea Patrick, your host, and I'm so happy that you are joining me today. Subscribe if a CEO mindset is something you want to obtain and you want to find the intersection where your work and life coexist. The sky is the limit when you're clear about your value, consistent in the way you share said value, and you're upfront and honest about who you are while sharing it. There are so many examples to follow and learn from. Let's get into today's, shall we? All right, everybody, you heard that amazing podcast interview bio that I just shared with you about Pam. So again, bear with us because we are going to be kikiing it up like girlfriends because we have not spoken to each other in a very long time. But you know how it is with old friends. You just kind of get back right on the bike and continue riding as if you never left. So with that in mind, thank you, Pam, for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I am thrilled to be here and so excited to see your face.
I know.
That's the best part.
I know. Okay. So again, say we already got started. So I just did the bio. Tell us a little bit of something about yourself that wasn't in the intro of the podcast. Something that
about
might surprise
personally?
Us. Something that just might surprise us about you. Anything you want to share?
Let's see. Something that might surprise you is I am a creative. Spent so much time in business. You know, I think that got stifled for a long time. And so,
and you are so good at it. I mean, that's the thing. I told them in the bio how like you were part of the upline and Premier, and I used to look up to you and Elizabeth and be like, one day I'll be there. One day you would be up on the stage. And so, yeah, you are phenomenal at business. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And, but I also love to do, you know, other things that are creative, like paint, like what's behind
me. Oh, wow.
Different things around. So people are shocked to hear that. I'm also musical a little bit, or used to be. So I played the piano, played the flute, those kind of things. So that's always like, where's that come from?
You know what?
But that's a gift. That's a gift I don't like to share with anyone. I just keep that one to myself. Because
the singing one? Or the piano playing, the music playing.
Cannot sing. Cannot sing. Only with my grandchildren. They but like to play the piano. I can remember that was just my therapy. Like if my feelings hurt, I could just go bang it out on that piano. Right?
I can see that.
Yeah, just therapy. Yes.
Yeah, I
I
can
love
see
it.
that for sure. Well, I happen to think that though, and maybe I'm just biased because I'm a creative also, and I'm not gonna say I'm great at business, but I think, I do okay. But I do think having a flair for creativity is important in the business space because you do have to get creative sometimes to make the to kind of get yourself out of the rut, or to turn the corner, or, scale.
Yes, especially
So,
these days,
yeah.
right? Especially, I remember years ago, God called me to blog. I've probably been blogging about 10 years. And so I'm like, what? You want me to write? Like, I speak all the time, Lord. Can I just speak? You know?
Yes.
But yet he's calling me to write. But who knew that I would have to create graphics and that I would
See?
have to learn, so many things
Yep.
besides writing a
Just
post,
write it.
right?
Yep.
Kind of have
When
to do
I'm
it all these days.
Yeah, when I'm working with I was working with a client yesterday, and he was, I had given him some instruction on how to do his website, and he was like, "You have great ideas. Like, your strategies are amazing, but it's the implementation that's hard." And I was like, "Yeah, but that's what all of us have to go through. It's a learning curve. It's like, if you can't do it, you have to pay someone to do it. But when you don't have the budget to pay someone to do it, you got to get down in the trenches and pull your sleeves up and just get it done."
That's right.
That's
That's
so
right.
true.
Yes.
Well, listen, I spoke to everybody earlier in the intro about the fact that your business is faith-based and that you are a faith-based leadership coach. So I want you to tell us a little bit more about your goals of inspiring women to rise up. What does that mean exactly?
Well, I think we find it so easy to shrink back. So because everything I do is faith-based, it's all around purpose. And I believe that we are driven by a purpose. I believe that we were created on purpose, right? And God has a plan and a purpose for our life. And so often we find ourselves just running ragged, going through all the motions, trying to do everything that everybody expects us to do, but really not doing anything that we've been called to do. And I was in a meeting this morning with a group of businesswomen and was just reminded them of something, some great advice somebody gave me is when once you identify your calling or what God has identified that for you, write it down and stay focused on it because there are a million good things that will come your way.
Yes.
And all, you can get off course, even though you're doing good things, you're not doing what God has called you to do, and you're not fulfilling the purpose He has for you. So, therefore, you're being disobedient, right? And so, the best plan is to stay right in the center of God's plan. And so, it means that we have to rise up, that we have to be obedient, that we have to do the hard things, that we have to trust Him when He's asking us to do things, and that we can't just lean back and let other people do that. Wait for somebody else to
Man,
address
when
that.
I tell you, this is, you're going to think that I made this up, but I did it because I did not know you were going to say that. But this is one of those rabbit holes that I told you we might get down. It may not ever get to another question. But just recently, we had an unfortunate passing in our congregation.
Oh,
And there
that's
was there's a woman who, Miss Willie is her name, and she is the senior ministry leader. The senior members of our congregation, she created a ministry for them. Well, the person that passed was a member of that ministry. So Miss Willie said, "I felt that it was important that the senior ministry bring a floral arrangement for the funeral." So Miss Willie went online looking for a floral arrangement. She didn't find one that she liked, and so she said someone refer her to Sam's. And so she went to Sam's to find a floral arrangement. Now, the funeral was on Thursday, but she's at Sam's on Wednesday. She finds this beautiful floral arrangement, but she says, "I'm not going to get it today. I'll wait until tomorrow and I'll pick it up on the way to the funeral." Miss Willie goes to Sam's on Thursday to pick up the floral arrangement. She pays for it and everything, and she's on her way out, and she's looking at this arrangement, and she's like, "It's not going to fit in my car. This is not going to fit in my car." And there was a woman there. She said the woman had to have been in like her 50s or so. And she said she saw her standing there looking perplexed. And she was like, are you okay? Do you need something? And so Miss Willard, being the kind soul that she is, explains that I just bought this and I don't think I'm gonna be able to get it in my car. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm gonna do. So the young woman says, you know what? I have a Jeep. It'll fit in my car. She's like, let me grab my stuff and I will meet you at the car. I'll meet you out front and I will bring my car up and I will take the floral arrangement to your church for you. Now, Miss Willie did not know this woman. Okay. Fast forward to Miss Willie trusts that the woman's going to bring the floral arrangement. So she gets to the church and within 5 minutes, the woman shows up, thankfully, with the flower arrangement. She wouldn't even let Miss Willie try to bring it in. She was going to try to bring it in, but Miss Willie's niece met her at the door, grabbed it, blah, blah, blah. Now, this is where what you just said gets interesting, talking about rising up and being obedient. Miss Willie was led to do this floral arrangement. She said, you know, I just felt God putting it on my heart to do this for this woman. So she was obedient.
Yes.
The woman who offered to help gets to the church, hands the floral arrangement over and says, you know, this morning I was praying and I told God I was going to do something kind for someone today. And he gave me you. Did that not just give you chills?
Yes, all over me.
And
yes.
So she told me that story. I got chills again. And I've told that story. You're the fourth person I've told that story to, but I got chills again. And what that says to me, to emphasize what you just said, is when you are given a purpose, a task, anything, when God gives it to you and you know in your spirit that's what it is, when you walk in line with his word and what he's asked you to do, he will always send you what you need to fulfill it.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
And that just, I mean, that just, so that's, I'm like, she didn't even know that was a story I had in my pocket, but it so goes with what you just said, because
yes.
we do have to rise to the occasion when we know God has given us a task or a purpose. It's not going to be fulfilled in our own strength. It's going to be fulfilled in his strength, but we have to be in step with what it is he's saying. So I love it. I see. We could get stuck on that
the
one.
Other thing I think that we do so often is we make excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just really been thinking through, I mean, not to step on anybody's toes or anything, but like, there are so many things that I have believed about my personality
Mm-hmm.
or about my love language. And I'm like, now where does it say in the Bible that my personality excuses me from being a leader? I mean, we are all called to lead. And we say, well, I'm not comfortable, or I prefer to sit in the back of the room, or I'm an introvert, or we make all these excuses for things, right? But if we are going to follow Jesus and be like him, well, he was the greatest servant leader of all time, right? And so that's what we're called to do.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm sure he didn't feel very comfortable climbing up on the cross.
Oh, no,
You
not
know,
at all.
I'm sure he wasn't raising his hand going, yeah, I'm good. I mean, he even questioned it. He was like, okay, Lord, you sure this is what you want me to do? So,
Well,
I mean,
he said that in the
I
garden.
know.
He said, can we talk about this, Lord?
Yes, exactly. So, but he still was obedient. That's the point of
yeah.
the story. Like, he was still obedient. So what would your advice be to women who really want to discover what God's purpose is in their life if they haven't already, but they don't know really how, and then but they're still trying to lead in their own power, in their own position, and as I mean, I know that you know this, because we're both saved, and we know that nothing that we've been able to accomplish could have been done in our own strength, so we've surrendered that a long time ago. Now you have a framework, LEAD, okay? So I want you to tell us about that. And I want you to kind of walk us through, I just kind of walk through it. I know that it's an acronym for lean in, elevate your perspective, accept responsibility, and do it all for the glory of God. So I'd like to walk through that with you. And because I know that you're creating this course and I want people to understand what the course is all about, because I know at the end, we'll be making sure that everybody can contact you and get access to what you have to offer. So let's
yes.
just give them some.
I do have a little freebie, so they can actually go to engagewithpam.com, and on there, just scroll down and you'll find a place where you can actually grab the a little booklet that explains explains this framework. Super simple. It's super simple. And so when you hear it, you're going to think, okay, that sounds really good. Mm-hmm, I like that. You were creative. Sounds good. When you study it, you'll find some value in it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And some takeaways from it. But the key is when you apply it.
That's it. That's the key with everything. Start
applying it in your life, you will find yourself leading better. And here's the thing. We are multifaceted leaders. We're all called to lead. All of us as women, we are all leading in different capacities, right? And so we're leading in our workplace with whatever our profession is. We're leading in our community in some way. Are we leading Bible study? Are we leading a group and, you know, an organization in our community? Are we volunteering or what are we doing in those areas? And then we're leading in our home. You know, whether we, I mean, I'm not saying you're the head of the house, but I'm saying people are following you.
Yep.
You're
yep.
influencing your family and so and your friends, you know. And so it's really important that when you apply this framework to every aspect, it's amazing how it changes things. And mm-hmm. so the L is lean in. You know, so often we think that we're supposed to lean standing on our own two feet. Right. I'm the leader. Everybody look to me. And that's not true. You've got to lean. We were not created to do life alone. We were never meant to be in control. And so we have to lean. And what are we leaning into? Well, if you're a believer, then you need to be leaning into the truth of God's word, right? Mm-hmm. You need to be leaning into your relationship with Jesus. And you need to be leaning ever so closely that you can hear the still small promptings of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. saying, this is the way, now walk in it, right? And so I love the scripture in Proverbs. It tells us that we are to trust God with all of our heart and to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him and he mm-hmm. will direct our paths. Mm-hmm. And so think through that, like how many times do you need to stop throughout every single day and lean, lean, like before you respond.
Let me see, there are 24 hours in a day. I'm sleep about 6 to 8. So probably about the other 16, I need to be doing that.
Yes, it's just a constant reminder. Oh, I don't have to know that answer because I know the one who is the answer, mm-hmm. right? And so it's just leaning into that and turning to him and not trying to figure it out ourselves or so many of us these days just rely on our opinions, you know, and they will fail us, the opinions of our friends. Instead of turning to the Lord, we ask our friends. We ask our coworkers, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. You know,
instead of just stopping and mm-hmm. praying, leaning in and asking God to lead us and guide us.
You know what? I think that we don't do that because, and I'm speaking from a conversation I had yesterday with a family member is that we are, as a society, trying very hard to fit our round peg into God's square hole. When what we should be doing is we're trying to fit God's round peg into our square hole when we should be doing the reverse. We should mm-hmm. be trying to fit ourselves into God's mold. And so when we don't see, we want to pray and ask God for the result that we want. And we feel like we were unsuccessful when we don't get it, if it doesn't show up in the packaging that we wanted to show up in.
Yeah. Our unmet expectations, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
We expect
right.
him to do this, but that's not what's best for us. And so,
right.
you know, we think in terms of me right now, right here, what's happening, but God thinks in the terms of nations and yes. generations.
Yes.
So I may be walking through this hard season because of the impact it's going to have on my grandchildren, right? Or I
That's
may
right.
be encountering this struggle because of the impact it's going to have on the people around me. So things go way beyond just us. But our problem is we only look at us.
Yep.
We're self-centered. We're thinking about
yes.
me.
That's absolutely right. Now, the next letter is E, and you say that you is to elevate your perspective. So what do you mean by that? And I know why this is important, but I want you to tell us why it's important. And then how does it really help in the overall grand scheme of our leadership? You said like we're leaders in all facets of life. How does elevating our perspective help in that way? So those are three questions.
Just like I said, we are so focused on the here and now. We're so focused on, and so often as a leader, we think it's about my position. We think it's about my profit or my, you know, my glory, right? And what am I going to get out of this? And when you elevate your perspective, it's kind of like you zoom out, you know,
yes,
like
you get
a
the big
GPS.
picture. You get the big picture.
Yeah. And when you're looking at your GPS and there's this little dot of where you're going, but you have no idea where that is until you zoom out. And then you
Zoom
can
out.
see, what city is that in? What county is it in? What state?
Great. That's a great
Yeah.
analogy. I love
Kind of
that
know where you
visual.
are. And so elevating your perspective too is seeing things the way that God sees them. You know, having this is a, has a bigger picture. This is for a bigger purpose. And so my leadership is not about me and my plans, but it's about the purpose for which He has placed me here. Like, why am I in this position? You know, today sitting in a business meeting, like, why has God brought us here? Like, there's a bigger picture than to benefit my business, benefit me. Like, how does He want to use me and this connection with these business leaders to impact our community, right?
Exactly.
And so even with your children, this is not about me and being praised as the best.
Mom, and yeah, and like doing those little idiosyncrasies of making dinner and cleaning the house. It's about, are you the example of a godly woman God needs you to be to show your child how to be the same, and show them when you have hard times how you turn to God for guidance and direction versus turning to the friend or the coworker or the
And they are
guru.
listening. They are listening, you know, and they know. I can remember one of my daughters wrote me a letter. I worked out of the house for so many years, still do. But as they were growing up, I was working at home. And so she wrote me a card one day that said, "I hear you pray with people on the phone. I hear you be an encouragement to others. I
Oh,
hear you."
wow.
And I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
She
That's
didn't
what
mean
you want.
anything about all those lectures. She didn't hear those. She didn't
Of
take
course
those.
not. I didn't hear that. Nope.
It's the example.
Amazing.
Yeah, the example we set. But my life verse is Isaiah 40:31. And I love that it says that they who wait, well, some translations say hope and some translations say trust. So I just say all three. They who wait, hope, and trust, right? In the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up on wings as eagles. Well, when I first heard that, I'm like, mount up on wings as eagles. Like, does that mean I'm going to prosper? I'm going to be successful and all that. But as I studied and studied that, what God was telling me was that I'm going to come closer to Him, right? Mount up on wings with eagles and fly higher so that I get to closer to Him. I get to know Him more in a more way. And an eagle flies so high, other birds can't fly that high. And so a lot of times he's flying alone. So it's that being part, right?
Damn,
Being
that was good.
part. Do you know that a black crow will get on his back and just like tap him on, you know, just annoy him? Which who would that black crow be?
The devil.
Yes.
Come on, Satan,
You
leave us
are gonna
alone.
experience attacks, and you know he's constantly going to try to get our attention and take our focus off what we're supposed to be doing. But when our perspective is elevated and we're focused on fulfilling the purpose and the plan that God has for us, instead of our eyeballs being turned in, being self-centered, self-protective, self, you know, selfish, instead we're looking at what God has, the purpose and the plan he has placed me here.
I love
And
this.
It is to make a difference in the lives of the people around me. And so for me, leadership is not about just impacting the here and now. But like if you're in a corporate setting and you are leading in a way that Jesus would lead, let's just pretend that this is the time that Jesus came and was born, and now he's 33 years old and or 32. And instead of being a carpenter, you know, he's a year before his crucifixion. So instead of being a carpenter, he is working at your place where you work, doing the job that you do. How would he do that job? Do it like you. Would he be at the water cooler going, "Can you believe what she did? Did you hear what's going to happen? I am so pissed off." You know?
Yes, yes.
That is not what he would be doing.
No, so to have the perspective is, I mean, you're just giving it such great, I mean, we're talking about elevating your perspective, but just the visuals that you're giving really do bring this concept into focus.
Yes. So if you lead in a way that impacts the people around you, not just their work, but their life. Life. You know what I mean?
I
And
love it.
so if they experience you being kind and you being loving and you having peace that passes all understanding when everyone else is stressed out, if they experience you serving and giving and saying, hey, take mine, or hey, you go first, you know, all of those things that we can do, like Jesus would do, then they're going to take that home. They're going to take it into their other friendships and relationships.
Yes.
And the people who are in other departments at your office, they're going to notice
Yeah.
that leader leads differently than the
Absolutely.
she is really set apart. And you're planting seeds, and we never know. You know, we never know what will come along later in those people's lives and water those seeds
So
and how
true.
God will use them. But we can leave a lasting impact on everyone around us. We'll just elevate our perspective.
We talked about this a little bit, the idea of accepting responsibility. But I want to dive a little bit deeper. How does not doing this hinder people from being an effective leader? And why do you think people are so afraid? We talked about fear a little bit too. Is it the fear of consequences? Is it the fear of actually being the leader? Is it a self-esteem issue?
Sometimes what we really fear, like, there are things like, I just want everybody to like me. I don't want to cause any difficulty. I don't want to have any kind of confrontation. I want to people please. I want to go along to get along. You know, like, I don't want to, you know, so we just want to be seen in a certain light.
Right.
And none of us are always seen in the perfect light. And so, and two, another thing that happens is that we, instead of accepting responsibility, we've bought into the lie of that the world tells us that we have rights as a leader, like I have a right to be served, right? Like higher up I go.
This expectation, we are leaders, so you have to serve me. You are my subordinate. I am over you.
Yes. And, you know, so it's kind of, it's an inverted triangle for us as believers. You know, normally you see a triangle with a leader at the very top, but as Christians, it's inverted and the leader's at the bottom. And it's about how we show up to serve others.
Yes.
And then it goes out. It's like a ripple effect going,
Yes.
A triangle going up, right? The inverted triangle. And
Yes.
so it just goes out to the masses. So it impacts the people that you're closest to, and then it impacts the next level and the, you know, on out.
Yes.
Like a ripple.
Yes.
And so we don't have rights. People get so discouraged or frustrated over rights. I remember when I was working in the corporate world, my boss went out of town and I parked. He said, hey, while I'm out of town, park in my spot, right? I'm like, score. So I park in a spot, and like one of the managers comes in irate because he should be able to park in that parking spot, not me. And so that happens all the time. All the time. We walk around believing that I have a right to this, I have a right to that, I deserve this, I deserve that, you know.
Entitled. We're entitled.
And we just totally ignore the fact that as a believer, we have a lot of responsibilities.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I made a list in this little booklet. I'm seeing my glasses, but I made a list just from Matthew 6 and 7, just from two
just
chapters.
Those two scriptures. Oh, the two chapters, whole chapters. Okay.
Yes. It tells us that we're to do the right things for the right reasons. That right there is huge.
I was going to say, you saw my face. I was like, we already messed up. Like,
yeah, not for personal
some leaders,
gain. Right?
Some leaders have already messed up. And don't you find, I mean, tell me if you agree, but I find that in the church sometimes, it is most evident because it's like some of the people who are leading in the church, maybe that's their only place of leadership in their entire life, and they try to milk it dry.
Yes. Yeah, I think it happens everywhere because it's our flesh.
It
you know, it's
yeah,
just our flesh.
definitely a fleshly issue.
We are to pray that God's will be done, not our own.
That means we can't be selfish.
We're to be a grace giver. We're such good at finding fault, aren't we?
Oh, yes. Blame, blame, fault. Blame. Never us. Never us.
Yes. These chapters tell us we're to have an eternal perspective, that we're not to worry about the little things, but to seek first the kingdom of God, that we're to judge ourselves before we judge others.
Ooh. No, ma'am, I think not.
Yeah, that if we need something, we should ask. If we have something, we should give it. And that we should stay true to our own to our convictions and not wander, I should say, from the narrow path, and to be obedient to God's word. I mean, just those responsibilities are huge. So think about that in a corporate situation. I'm not here because I deserve anything. I didn't even earn my way here. God has placed me here, right? And so I don't deserve accolades. I don't deserve praise. Matter of fact, really and truly, I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm like, if we did it right, we would die with no credit, like nobody, no praise.
Right. We would have been an invisible person walking because we would have done things because it was supposed to be, but we were doing what we were supposed to be doing and not looking for glory.
Yes. And instead of people saying, "Do you know what Pam did for me?" they'd say, "Do you know what God did for me?"
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and I think too, part of our responsibility in those particular instances is to make the distinction. Like I didn't do that in my own strength. If it weren't for God, there was no way that that would have been done.
Yes. And so the scripture that I put with that A is accept the responsibility is in Luke 12, verse 48, that says, "For everyone to whom much is given from him, much will be required, and to him much has been committed of him, they will ask the more." And so we will be held accountable
For
when we
sure.
stand before God as well.
For sure.
You know? And so
I want you to send me those. I want you to email me that list that you just had. It was that on your
it's in
on
this
your
booklet.
Okay. Because I think that some leaders at our church, I'm gonna tell my husband about this. He's the ministry overall, the ministries at our church. I think this is a great tool for them. So definitely gonna be sharing that with him. So
and then D is do it all for the glory of the Lord. Do it all for the glory of the Lord. So everything that we do, we're to do it for the glory of the Lord. Well, we fall so short just right there, right?
Yes.
But he tells us whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, or whatever we do it for the glory of God. That's in 1 Corinthians 10, 31. And so, you know, we've got to, again, if we work through this LEAD, it really does change everything that we do, because, I mean, the Bible is very clear. It tells us the great commandment, right, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love others better than yourself. And then to go into, in the great commandment, go into all the world and tell them about Jesus and teach them what the
Go ye therefore
so they can walk in obedience to him. Mm-hmm. And so here are these things that we are supposed to be doing. We are to go and tell. That's how you lead. You lead by following Jesus and pointing other people to him. And
for
so
sure.
That's 100% of the time. God wants to use you to point other people to him. That's why he sent Jesus, right? So that we could be reconciled to God. And so everything is to be about him. So we've just got to change. But here's what I want to encourage you to do is, no matter what situation you find yourself in, that you pause and you lean in. Lean on that firm foundation, right? Lean in to what you know to be true, the scripture that comes to mind, what you know God has told you. Lean in to your relationship with the Lord. Lean in to the power of the Holy Spirit that is alive in you. He will lead and guide and direct you. He will whisper those promptings. And even when you don't know how to pray, he will moan and groan on your behalf, intercede for you. So lean in and then elevate your perspective. Say, "This isn't about me, Lord. This is about the purpose that you have for me, what you want to do through me." Right? That's what being a transformational leader is. This is my, are you ready? I made up, this is my definition. A transformational leader is someone who allows God to work, to transform the way they lead so that he can work in them and then through them to begin the transformational process in the lives of others. And so where others are going to start going, maybe I need a little Jesus in my life, right?
So I need some of that. I need whatever she's having.
Yeah. Elevate your perspective, accept the responsibility, and then do it for the glory of the Lord. So whether you're in a business meeting, whether you're about to walk into your teenager's room, whether you and your husband are in the middle of an argument, like if you will apply this framework over and over again, it allows you to rise up and lead in a better way. It's going to change everything you say. It will change everything you do, and it will change how God can use you, right? Because it's going to get you out of the way and allow him to work through you.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't have anything else to add to that, Pam. You just brought it all home. You wrapped it up in a nice little bow. Nobody should say they didn't get a gift today because everyone was served a wonderful gift. Now, I would be remiss if I did not share, I did not ask you this last question, because this podcast is called the CEO Mindset Podcast. And I believe that we have to constantly be evolving and be open to those failures, because a lot of times we're just failing forward. What do you do? Or when was there a time when you failed forward? So tell us that about yourself.
I can tell you. Okay. I have a growth mindset for sure. Mm-hmm. I want to grow. I want to know more. I want to be a constant student. I think all leaders, you have to be a constant student. You will never arrive. I am fully the leader I'm called to be. Like, it's always learning and growing. It's kind of like parenting, right? Every day is a new day. You've never had this situation before. So leadership is like that too. So constantly read leadership books, faith-based, Christ-centered leadership books. And warning, like, there are books that are sold and listed as Christian books that really aren't built on the foundation of God's word. So do a little research. Be careful what you read and what you apply. Make sure it lines up with scripture. I think that's very important. Filter it through the truth of God's word. But how have I failed forward? Well, girl, I can talk about so many leadership failures, but I'm going to tell you about just life failure. I got married when I was 19 years old and went through a divorce really young, and remarried and found myself after a 14-year second marriage going through another divorce, second divorce. And I'm like, what in the world? It was a major failure for me to have two failed marriages. And no one in my whole family had ever been divorced. And so it was just such a hard time. And I fell, and I fell hard. I fell flat on my face. And so when I did, I just had a choice. I mean, I could have really wrecked my life during that time, or I could just fall on my face and cry out to God. And so my kids were teenagers. I had a 13-year-old, a 16-year-old, and an 18-year-old. And here I am going through this again. And it was devastating. And I can remember one morning, I got them all off to school. Like, you try to put on a pretty face, right? Bye, y'all. Have a good day. I mean, so that you understand, I suffered to the point that I lost down to 98 pounds.
Oh, my word.
I was a size zero.
Oh, my
People
word.
Would say to me, do you have cancer?
My goodness.
What's going on? Like, I was just pitiful, but I was heartbroken, heartsick, devastated, and really felt like, I think because it was my second divorce, like, my life's over. Like, God can never use me now. Like, you know, I am done. And so I was, one morning, I towed them by. They all left for school. I went upstairs and fell in my floor, just on my face, screaming and crying out to God, just crying my eyeballs out. And suddenly, I realized I was not alone in that room. It was almost as if I could hear his breath. And in that moment, I realized that he was with me, and I could trust him to carry me through. Now, y'all, he did. He did. And I could tell you crazy stories of how he showed up during that time, and how he led me and guided me and walked with me. And so what is so important for you to know is, I could tell you, this is the most painful time of my life. And that's true. It was the most painful time of my life. It was the most gut-wrenching time of my life. But that's really not how is defined for me, because that became the sweetest time in my life. And during that time, I realized that for so many years, I've been going through the motion and going to church and praying and all that. And I was a believer. I had accepted Jesus as my Savior. But the problem was, I was still the Lord of my life. And so it was in that complete failure that he got my attention and I put him into his proper place. And where I truly learned how to have a relationship with him, not practice religion, but how
have
to
a relationship,
a deeply rooted, fully committed, growing relationship with the Lord. And it changed everything for my life.
I love that.
So that is that. I tell you,
that is definitely a failing forward, if I ever say so myself. I mean, you can't get no more forward than that. That was amazing. That was
That's
amazing.
right. And so that's what, I didn't even mention this to you, but that's what spurred me writing a book called
Okay.
Saved by Grace, Now What? And so you can get that on Amazon if you want to grow your relationship with Jesus.
Nice. Well, the other thing that I want to make sure that everyone remembers is that Pam has this amazing workbook tool, her lead framework that I will definitely have linked down below so that you can grab that after you listen to this amazing podcast or watch it, because we'll actually have some components of it on YouTube as well. So Pam, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I'm so grateful that you're here, but I'm more grateful that I get to see you and talk to you in real time. And it's not just a text message or a little post on Facebook or somewhere where we're just kind of passing by happy birthday in each other. But I am so thrilled to see you in person and so appreciative for your time today. So thank you so much.
Me too. Thank you for having me. I feel so
Absolutely.
honored.
You'll have to come back. We'll do something else. Guys, listen, this is the podcast where we're talking about how to constantly evolve and be open to those failures, because we all know that failing forward is how you get to that success. I believe that in that failure, we are really informing our next attempt. And Pam has given us such great information on how we can lead in our lives, especially as it relates to walking in God's purpose of our life. So I want you to learn more about what she's sharing with Pam. Thanks again. And guys, don't forget, we're here every Wednesday. So if you're not subscribed, go ahead and do so and leave a comment and a review. We want to hear everything you have to say about this interview or any questions you might have. I'll make sure Pam gets them. All right, guys. Thanks again for listening. Bye. That does it for today's episode of the CEO Mindset Podcast. Remember, this is the place to be to find the intersection between your personal life and your business life so that they coexist. It's also where you learn how to consistently evolve and be open to the failures that happen, be open to the opportunities, be open to the opportunity for change. Make sure you are subscribed. Leave your comments below about today's episode. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, I want to hear all about them. And I want to hear how you are using what you hear to grow your business, live the life you love, and have that quality of life that we are all looking to achieve. All right, guys, don't forget to follow me over on Instagram, AF Patrick. Definitely subscribe to my YouTube channel, Andrea Patrick Official. All the links that you need to continue following and being a part of the Be You Boss Squad community is listed in the show notes, along with any other links that I think might be amazing for this particular podcast. Remember, we are on all the podcast platforms, so if you have not already, find us and subscribe. See you again next week.